Welcome to Panelcast, Forbidden Panels podcast featuring comic books, video games, and movie news and reviews. And now, your host, AJ Herrera.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 179 of the Panelcast. I am your host, AJ, and once again, Anthony is still on vacation, so I will be flying solo in this round. In this episode, I will be discussing, or reviewing anyway, the video game Prey, as well as the movie Wonder Woman. So, yeah, should be pretty fun. All that more after their first break.
Happy llama, sad llama, mentally disturbed llama, super llama, drama llama, big fat mama llama.
Hi, this is Joey Labarnik, and you can check out my latest comic, A Man Called Kraken, at comixology.com, and be sure to keep checking the Forbidden Panel website, because you're going to be able to see my artwork in the upcoming Volume 2 of Forbidden Tales.
It's me, bitch. Yes, I am that llama.
And welcome back, everybody. All right, so let's just dive right into the news, shall we? Production is continuing on Marvel Studios' Avengers Infinity War and the still-untitled fourth Avengers film. Movies that we already know will feature dozens of characters. This week, Guardians of the Galaxy actor Sean Gunn revealed that there will be more CGI characters in the film than the shared universe has ever seen. Gunn, who plays Rocket Raccoon on set, tells Movie Pilot, "I can tell you that the process for Rocket has been very similar to the Guardians movies. If anything, it's even more painstaking because there are more CGI characters around. In Guardians 2, Baby Groot was there the whole time, but the rest of the time was mostly with other live actors. In Avengers, there are several other characters who are CGI-enhanced that I've interacted with, which makes the process a little bit more deliberate." The question is whether he's referring to the new characters or if something more basic, like body doubles combined with later facial captures and replacement, a trick Marvel has been employing for years, would make complete sense for a film like this, where scheduling is a logistical nightmare. In related news, the film's director, the Russo brothers, have posted a photo from the set which seemed to confirm that Thor will be getting Jonir back in time for Infinity War after seeing it destroyed by Hela in the upcoming Thor Ragnarok. None of that actually surprises me. It's live-action cartoon at this point. Fox Animation has announced plans for two new future projects. The first is an adaptation of Michael Cuevas' book. You know, I warned you at the last episode. Don't give me confusing names because I'm just going to butcher them. His book, The Care and Feeding of a Pet Black Hole. War for the Planet of the Apes helmer Matt Reeves will produce the project through his sixth and Idaho production company. The story follows an 11-year-old girl who shows up at NASA to request that a recording is included on Carl Sagan's golden record. A black hole follows her home and sets out to live in her house as a pet. The black hole swallows everything he touches, including the ugly sweaters her aunt has made for her, the smelly class hamsters she's taken care of, and most important of all, the reminders of her dead father that are too painful to have around. The second is an adaptation of strong female protagonist webcomic illustrator Molly Knox Ostertag's upcoming graphic novel, The Witch Boy. That centers on 13-year-old Aster, whose family raises all the girls to be witches and boys to be shapeshifters. Anyone who dares cross those lines are exiled. The problem is that the boy hasn't shifted and he's fascinated with witchery. When a mysterious danger threatens the other boys, Aster knows he can help, but as a witch. Both those stories sound fairly interesting, and it'd be kind of cool to see them on TV. Now, for what has got to be the biggest mistake that they can make, the Weinstein Company's Dimension label is developing a TV series reboot of Frank Miller's iconic comic series, Sin City. No network or outlet is yet attached, but several are reportedly circling. Glenn Mazzara will serve as showrunner on the project, which will introduce original characters and timelines within the Sin City universe. Now, why? I don't understand why. Sin City, the original Sin City was masterful. A sequel, I mean, by the time we got to the sequel, we had already had to deal with other like movies like 300 and geez, I can't even remember the name of the movie. See, that's how bad it was. The Spirit. All of those movies shared the same noir look that Miller has put to his books. So when the second movie came out, people were just kind of burnt out on it. I know I personally was. So to do a whole TV series like this based on characters that obviously need an adult network to be watched on just seems to be a little too hard. Let American Gods play out first, and then we'll see where to go with this one, is my opinion. So, a screen adaptation of Brian K. Vaughan's celebrated comic Why the Last Man has long been in development, and sadly, no one has yet to crack that great story. That hasn't stopped Vaughan from churning out another award-winning work, such as his exotic space opera comic titled Saga, which he co-writes with Fiona Staples. Speaking to CBR, Vaughn says that it's possible, but will depend on one thing. The story needs to have an end first. Maybe when the story is finished, I think Fiona and I are both open to Saga possibly being translated into another medium someday. And we've gotten a lot of very flattering offers, but for the moment, we're just concentrating on trying to make the greatest comic book we can. The comic currently has 43 issues published to date. Vaughn's Marvel Comics title, Runaway, will shortly premiere as a live-action series on Hulu. Now, I'm a huge fan of BKV. I love some of his older stuff. Why the Last Man is probably one of my favorite books, if not the favorite. But Saga, I mean, if they're making it into a TV series, I think that would be kind of pushing it. They would have to be animated. I think that would be the best bet. But if they make it into a movie, I could see it. It's just be hard. The problem when you make it a movie based on a series that has ongoing issues, like more than, let's say, 12, is that you have a lot of different story arcs that you have to contend with and figure out which is the best to incorporate within the film. So if you're having, you know, like, that's the problem we have with all the Spider-Man and Marvel movies that are out, is that they don't know which storyline to tackle. So they end up smashing all the different story arcs into one, including an origin story, and then it just comes off, you know, it's hard to relate to for the comic book fans, because we want to see one specific arc, and we'll get a hint to it in a movie as opposed to the whole thing. So the same could be said with Saga. Saga is just really big at this point, and to try to make all 43 current issues into a two-hour movie, it would just ruin the comic book to me, or ruin the storyline and Saga in itself. The upcoming Silver and Black, Sony's female superhero film based on the Spider-Man comic characters Silver Sable and Black Cat, may be the start of a new cinematic universe. According to a new rumor at Splash Report, Sony is planning an Avengers-style ensemble movie that will feature only the women of the studio's burgeoning Spider-Man universe. The all-female team-up film would include Black Cat, Silver Sable, along with Jessica Drew, which is Spider-Woman, Angelina Brankel, which is Stunner, Sarah Arrett at Jackpot, and Cassie St. Commons, otherwise known as Dusk. In related news, there is no related news as far as I'm concerned. Putting all that together would be kind of cool. But they're already trying to do so much within the Spider-Man universe without Spider-Man. It would only seem like it doesn't make any sense. They're doing the Venom movie, which is not going to have any ties to Spider-Man at all. If they do this and don't even have Spider-Man in the movie, it'll just seem awkward. It would be best if maybe they brought in these characters, you know, as him coming across them or what have you in the new Spider-Man film. That way you already have some sort of familiarity with them when you go see the independent film that they'll be in. It's just me saying that because I'm rambling. Yeah. One of what has to be most disappointing bits of news to come out is that recently, this past weekend was Phoenix Comic Con. what happened, apparently, was that Phoenix Comic Con had to ban prop weapons after an armed man was arrested. Some douche nozzle decided to show up to Phoenix Comic Con dressed as the Punisher and started threatening to harm people all over the place because he had four loaded guns, ammunition, and a knife on him at the convention. In response to the scare, police added security and banned all costume prop weapons, including sword sabers and fake guns. Comic-Con fans were not amused. A lot of cosplayers spend their time and money putting together these huge elaborate weapons and costumes and whatnot to show off at conventions, only to have it blocked because some dumbass wanted to come in and pretend he was actually the Punisher. Now, to me, would ruin what was already, what has come across as probably one of the funnest conventions that I've ever been to at Phoenix, because that town just loves comic books and comic book characters and whatnot. And to see this happen, it's a shame, because all it takes is one bad scene, you know? And that's what this guy did. Apparently this guy has been told to have mental issues. He told detectives he is a crime-fighting comic book character and planned to shoot bad police officers. So, yeah, that happened. condolences going out to, you know, we've got people at Phoenix Comic Con. Sorry this had to happen to their show. Sorry that all the attendees had to deal with the drama of walking in single file to the show to make sure that they were not carrying any sort of weapons, real or fake. So, way to ruin it, buddy. So that pretty much wraps up the news segment. We're going to take a quick break, and when I come back, I'll be talking about Prey the video game.
Guys, this is Daniel Corey. I'm the founder of Danger Cat Creative Studio, and I want to tell you real quick about my upcoming comic, Moriarty, The Dark Chamber. It's about Professor Moriarty, the arch nemesis of Sherlock Holmes, working with artist Anthony Diachidua on it, letterer Dave Lampier. Please go to DangerCat.com and check it out. That's DangerCat.com. And please go over to Kickstarter.com. We're running a campaign right now to try to raise funds for the production of the book. So, you know, shoot us an email, let us know how you like it, and we'll see you on the web.
And welcome back, everybody. So, in this segment, I'm going to be doing the reviews. So, it's going to be weird not asking myself questions or having somebody here to ask me questions. So, I'm just going to fake it. So, just go along with me, guys, okay? Okay. First up, I've been playing a game called Prey. This game is a first-person shooter, action-adventure video game that is developed by Arkane Studios and put out by Bethesda. It was released this year on Cinco de Mayo, and I've been playing it on the PlayStation 4. Quick wiki rundown. In Prey, the player controls Morgan Yu while exploring the space station Talos 1 in orbit around Earthmoon. Where research into a hostile alien collective called the Typhon is performed as the Typhon escaped confinement. The player uses a variety of weapons and abilities derived from the Typhon to avoid being killed by the aliens while looking to escape the station. The player gains access to areas of the station through a Metroidvania style of progression by acquiring key items and abilities, eventually allowing the player to fully explore the station in an open world setting. I am about 30 hours into the game. I've been playing like crazy for the past week. I still haven't beat it. What can I say? The game is pretty fun. It is along the lines of let's say the newest Tomb Raider games or any type of first-person action game where you're just running around trying to solve puzzles, look for clues, look for items that's going to help you advance into the next setting and whatnot. It's aboard a space station called Talos 1, so they say it's open world, but, I mean, it's contained within a space station, so it's not super open world. There are a lot of, like, random encounters, not like you would see in a Final Fantasy game per se, but more along the lines of just any other normal game. Again, much like the Tomb Raider franchise. Yeah, it's like I said, 30 hours in, I'm playing the campaign. I'm not sure if it has a multiplayer because I haven't even bothered to check. But so far, I'm having a blast. Now, unlike a lot of people, I play video games such as this on easy. Because I don't want to get stuck killing a monster and not enjoying the story of the game. Same way I played this as The Last of Us. A phenomenal, top-notch game, by the way. But it's... Yeah, sure, monster fights and all that stuff. Okay, cool. That's part of the game. But if I can make it so that I can kill the monsters easily and progress to the story, which is what I really enjoy, then I'll be happy. And that's what I'm doing with this game. So the fact that I'm 30 hours in with it set on easy should tell you something. It ain't that easy. The Typhon are shape-shifting, smoke-like creatures that are very reminiscent to the aliens that you saw in that Tom Cruise movie where he dies a lot. That's right. I'm a professional, and I can't remember the name of his damn movie. So, there you go. But the aliens in there, where they're just like a constantly changing shape and what have you, the same style in here. Now, you get these things called neuropods, which allows you to... allows you to access different abilities and strengths and whatnot. They're drawn from, like, let's say you have an athletic ability. Well, you've donated that to this neuropod, or they've simulated such action into this pod, and then you shoot the contents of it into your eye and gain said ability. So the more neuropods that you get, the more you can unlock more and more abilities, including psychic, pyrokinesis, telekinesis, telepathic, all that kind of stuff. That those are the powers you're allowed to access. On the way, you can also upgrade your weapons. So if they're more powerful and stronger, and you just build your character from there. The layout map of the character build is very similar to what I remember when I first saw Final Fantasy X. You had that big, huge map of all the different spheres that you had to get and put together so that you can advance your character one way or another and do certain things. And so that's what I'm in the middle of doing right now in playing this game. It's fun. I've come across a couple of glitches, but nothing too massive. Even on easy, it's still, you know, you got to get that timing down. You got to get that rhythm and get the rhythm down so that you can figure out what power set works best for you or your character, or even you as a player. It's a first-person shooter, so you're going, you know, you see your hands floating around, which to me is always annoying. It's a horror game, so I would play it during the daylight. Not to say that, you know, I'm easily scared by a game, and this game is definitely not something that would scare me normally. But there are a couple times where I'm just, you know, 3 hours into the game, into my game session, and, you know, alien just pops out of nowhere and I jump a little bit. You know, it's that kind of game. There's nothing really gross. It's more creepy and scary than it is, say, a gore fest, you know. But it's still fun. You interact every now and then. You start off on a TV set where you're living like a Truman Show life. Where they're trying to re-implant you into the society by having you live on a movie set that is designed to look like your apartment. And then you just go from there. Again, 30 hours I'm into this game. I've been everywhere that I know of or that I've been allowed to. You gain hacking abilities, which allows you to hack through gate codes and whatnot so you can get into new areas. But there's still big chunks of space that I have not to get into, so I know I've got at least 20 more hours into this game. It's going to kill me. But I'm loving it, so it's pretty cool. So if you have a chance, you know, you've got a work week where you're not doing anything, pick up Prey. It's pretty fun. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. The story so far is keeping me interested. So, I'm playing for the PS4. I don't know of any difference between that and the 360. I will only presume that there is none for consistency's sake. But who knows? I could be wrong. So, yeah, there you go. Next up, the review section is Wonder Woman. I went down and checked this out on opening night on Thursday. A couple of my buddies, we do like we do. We always head out on Thursdays and catch these movies. And I gotta admit, going into Wonder Woman, I wasn't like super excited about it. It's nothing to do with the fact that she's a female character or anything like that. I just don't. Gal Gadot is such a new person onto the scene. And to me, she seemed too thin to play the character of Wonder Woman. And even in the film, watching her, I mean, she's obviously beefed out a bit, but it's like she went from being a not toothpick character to having that sandwich that we always bitch about people having. So, you know, she looked good, but I still had the problem with the lack of definition in her muscles. So that kind of, like, bothered me a little bit, but yeah. Let's see. We start off with her life on Themyscira, growing up on an all-female island full of Amazonian women. Her mother, the queen. Her instructor, the general, played by Robin Wright. I mean, who saw that coming, right? The film is a great journey that she takes from being who she wants to be and desires to be as a child to becoming that hero that she thinks the world needs to in order to survive at the end of the film. And it is a great fun seeing her do it. A lot of credit I've got to give to Gal Gadot and all the naysaying that I had done and concerns that I had had that I was completely wrong. Not only did she pull off Wonder Woman, but the woman can act. Just watching her just not so much steal the scene, but just establish herself in this each scene that she's in. There's no mistaking that she came to play, and she did a great job with the acting in this film. Oscar worthy, possibly, but if I think of anything that would prevent it from doing so, it's got to be the end scene, the boss battle. I like to say, because that's when you really see the Zack Snyder influence. The heavy CGI usage and whatnot. You get glimpses of it throughout the film. For the most part, Wonder Woman stays grounded in reality, except for, you know, the outlandish jumping and whatnot that she does throughout the film. But the fight scenes and her performance otherwise are just top-notch and realistic, as far as I'm concerned. Great role model film for all the women out there and all the little girls coming up. They'll want to see this and want to get behind this character in a major way. And they should, because, again, wonderfully and amazingly portrayed by Gal Gadot, Wonder Woman is that strong visage of female that we have in our mind when we think of such things. So it dabbles a little bit on the fringes of the Batman vs. Superman universe, the films, in that, this is all causing to be a flashback due to the picture that we see in Batman vs. Superman. But, yeah, I don't want to give a lot away, and I'm not going to. I'm trying to do my best not to make this spoiler-heavy, because I'm sure you guys want to go and enjoy it for yourself, and, you know, you should. But, you know, I'll say that it has some scenes in it that's going to break you. And while it may be reminiscent of the Captain America film, only because of the timeline does it do so. But you realize that this character and Captain America do indeed bear some similarities in the fact that they want to be heroes and do things that are right and save the world as opposed to save every person in the world instead of just saving the world as a whole. That's when you get your comparisons to it. Other than that, Wonder Woman is its own film, and you should definitely go and check it out. Even if you don't like DC characters, even if you don't like Wonder Woman as a character in herself, this is one of those movies that's going to change your mind. Because, again, Gal Gadot does an amazing job in her performance of it. She really pulls out all the stops. Considering the last time I had seen her in a film was in a Fast and Furious movie, this is leaps and bounds beyond that. So, Yeah. Chris Pine did a great job as Steve Trevor. I'd rather not see him naked ever again, though. Robin Wright, again, like I said, was the lead general and taught her how to fight. And her mom, Connie Nielsen, you know, she nailed that role, too. Everything about the film was great until the last boss fight. It bothers me so badly. But, you know, even then, I still want to go see it. I want to sleep through that last part. But I want to see the movie all over again because it's really worth it. So if you get a chance, make that time. Go see Wonder Woman. I guarantee you will not be disappointed. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up this section of the reviews. And when I come back, tell you what we're up to this week. Be right back.
Do you have dreams of world domination? You ever wanted to take on those pesky G.I. Joe jerk-offs, but really didn't know how to do that? Visit www.cobrathirdnightwatch.com. This is Major Boca of Cobra asking you, telling you, to go to www.cobrathirdnightwatch.com. That's Cobra3RDNightwatch.com.
And welcome back, everybody. So that about wraps it up for this episode. It's getting really weird doing this show alone. I really don't like to talk that much. Obviously, all evidence points to the contrary due to me rambling on the show for like 20 minutes now. But I want to remind everybody, Wednesday, June 7th, Joey Labarnik and I will be celebrating the release of his book, A Man Called Kraken, as well as our collaborative story on Forbidden Tales Volume 2. By signing at Wonder Comics in Yucaipa from 7 p.m. to 9:30. We'd love to see everybody there. Come on out. Books will be, there's a special going on. We will have three books available that day. Forbidden Tales, Volume 1, Forbidden Tales, Volume 2, and A Man Called Kraken. All books are $10 a piece, but if you buy Volume 1 and 2 together, we'll knock it down to $15. So that in itself would be a good deal. We're also going to be heading out on Thursday to go see the new Tom Cruise-led Mummy movie. Hopefully, I don't want to be buried in a sarcophagus after seeing it. It is the launch of the new Dark Empire series that they're trying to do over at Universal, where we're going to be seeing all the original movie monsters coming back. So, likes of Mummy, Frankenstein's Monster, the Wolfman, and so on. Phantom of the Opera, things like that, will be showing up in this universe that they're doing their best to tie it together. So we're going to go check out The Mummy this week and see how good of a job they do. Once again, please check out our social networking, Forbidden Panel, on Twitter, on Instagram, on everything that is an invasion of our private lives. That's where we are because we like to invade. This Saturday, we're going to be doing a 12-hour Dungeons & Dragons Day. Check out the Forbidden Panel Instagram because I will definitely be posting a lot of pictures of how us 40-something-year-olds are still playing this damn game. So, but it should be a lot of fun, I promise. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I really appreciate it. And I'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Oh, sorry, one thing I really want to say before we go. Our friend here at the company, Richard Duran, recently lost his father. He passed away a couple weeks ago. So we want to express our condolences to Richard and his family. Richard and I have been friends since the fifth grade. He's a great man that I'm feel very privileged to have known. And so for him to lose his father, a man that made Richard who he is fairly devastating for everybody involved. So, again, our condolences go out to the Duran family. Hang in there, brother. I got your back. All right, guys. Well, thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
PanelCast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.